Okay, find in your Bible Luke chapter 2. It ought to be right familiar. This the Christmas, they call it story. I don't like the word story. Story starts out, you know, once upon a time, and ends with, and they live happily ever after. You know, kind of like a Hallmark Christmas movie. That's a story. This is not a fiction. This is a fact. This is an account of the events that took place surrounding Christ's birth. It's found in Luke chapter 2. Oh, by the way, I wore my my Hawaiian Christmas shirt today, because you only get to wear it just so often. I mean, you can't wear it in the middle of July or June, or not without people looking at you funny. And in Hawaii, Santa does not come in a sleigh pulled by reindeer. In Hawaii, Santa comes on an outrigger canoe. And so he's somewhere on here. I can't tell. Anyways, yeah, you won't see it again until next year. Okay, but I wanted to wear it. And I promise I won't wear it at the Christmas Eve service. In case y'all were thinking, that preacher's going to wear that shirt. No, I'll wear a t-shirt. Don't worry about it. Okay? Alrighty, Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 8 through 20. We're going to look at it a little bit at a time. So just keep your Bibles open and hang out there, okay? There was a survey done some time ago to see which characters from the Advent account people identified with. And I want to do that same similar survey this morning. So I want you to think about, when you think about the Advent, you know, and Mary and Joseph and wise men and shepherds and sheep and all that kind of stuff, I want you to think about who you most identify with. All right? So let's do it this way. How many of you think you identify with Mary? Raise your hand. This is just an example hand. This is not identifying with Mary, okay? How many of y'all think it's Joseph? Raise your hand. How many of y'all think it's the wise guys? Raise your hand. Anybody think it's Herod? How many of y'all identify with Herod? Yeah, I'm always mean. You know, I identify with Herod. How about the shepherds? How many of y'all identify with the shepherds? All right, how many of y'all don't have a clue who you identify with? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's what I thought.
The sheep.
The sheep. How many of y'all identify with sheep? Okay. On the, in just a minute, we'll talk about that. On the survey that was done, and it's not real surprising, the shepherds came out on top. Most people identified with the shepherds. Now, most of us are comfortable with the Christmas story. We've heard it so many times. Again, I use the word story, but from a factual standpoint. And maybe we've become so familiar with it that it's become part fable and part legend in our minds. Some people just skim along on a superficial level, counting down the remaining shopping days, stressing about all the things to do while neglecting the nativity. How many of y'all have an Advent calendar you keep track of? How many days? How many of y'all have the chocolate Advent calendar? Not anymore, do you? No, Christmas has come and gone. You're working on next year's Christmas on that chocolate. All the little doors have been open. All the chocolate is gone. Anyways, this idea that we just get so familiar with it that it becomes a story rather than a factual event. It kind of reminds me of the little girl who misquoted John 3:16. She says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son." And from the world standpoint, that's kind of where we are. We celebrate Christmas. We got lights and trees and we got presents and we sing the Christmas, what kind of songs? Yes, thank you. We sing the Christmas carol. We do all this stuff surrounding Christmas. And sometimes we forget the real reason why we do this stuff. He becomes the only forgotten son. I find it interesting that God chose to send the birth announcement of his son to shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 doesn't tell us much about who they are. There's no detailed descriptions. There's no names. It just says, and you're looking at it, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. That's all we know about them. They're living out in the fields. Now, throughout the history of Israel, shepherding was a noble profession. Abel was the first to have this job. He's followed by Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and, of course, David. God calls himself a shepherd. And we're compared to sheep. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. Oh, we're compared to those cute little woolly things. Listen, being compared to sheep ain't a compliment. Because sheep are, they're dumb. On their own, if they were left on their own, they would die out there in the field. If they didn't have a shepherd tending to them, you look at a sheep right in the face. They don't look too bright, and there's a reason why. They're not too bright. And when God compares us to sheep, it's not a big compliment. Because without our shepherd, we don't stand a chance. But by the time we come to the first century shepherd, this idea of shepherding, this career of shepherding, has lost its shine, its luster. Shepherds made up the lowest class of people. Coming just ahead of lepers, you know, these guys with terrible skin diseases. Just above them was shepherds. There's a book called the Talmud. It's a collection of interpretations and insight from the rabbis. I don't put any stock in the Talmud. But we read these words in the Talmud. No help is to be given to heathen or shepherds. Man, that's just not right, is it? Not right at all. So in order to understand how unusual it was to have the angels appear to these lowly shepherds, I want us to learn a little bit about them. First off, they were considered ceremonially unclean. Because of the nature of the work, they were unable to attend any temple services. They weren't allowed to go to church because they're shepherds. They were isolated and forgotten. Because their flocks needed to move around from field and field and find new grass and fresh water, they never stayed in one place for very long. They were treated with contempt and mistrust. They were suspected of stealing. They would often confuse the word thine with the word mine. They'd get that confused. Their testimony was never allowed in court because they were known to be so unreliable. They were known to be vulgar and violent people. Living out in the fields away from society made them unappealing to most people. Most people would never go out to the field to hang out with the shepherds. They want nothing to do with them. Most of them had foul mouths and they were ready to fight at the drop of a hat. I know what you think. There's names going through your mind right now of people who must have been shepherds. Because they got foul mouths and they're ready to fight just at the drop of a hat. But listen, God entrusted the greatest message ever sent from heaven to a bunch of shepherds. But if you think about it, this really isn't so unusual, is it? God has always worked wonders for the forgotten, the despised, and for the lowly. From the very beginning of his time on earth, Jesus came to those who felt horrible and who were also humble. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 and 13 says this, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I am so glad He came to call sinners to repentance because I am one. And listen, I got news for you. You am one too. We are all sinners in need of repentance. Jesus reached out to sinners like Zacchaeus, Levi. He reached out to prostitutes, to the demon-possessed, to strangers, and even those Samaritans which the Jews hated. He did in his ministry what the Father did in a borrowed stable when the lowly shepherds looked at the Lord as the cattle were lowing. Mary captured this in her song. It's recorded in Luke chapter 1. I'll put it up on the screen. In verse 52 it says, "He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly." Isn't that good? He's put down the mighty. He's exalted the lowly. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence." Where does all the glory go? Where does all the glory go? To God. How much of it do we get? None. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, Scripture doesn't say, "Now there were in the same region scribes keeping watch over their scrolls." Doesn't say that. Or Pharisees keeping watch over their law. The Lord comes to the lowly, to the most undeserving, to the neglected and the marginalized, in order to show his power. The shepherds help us see that God has a message for sinners just like us. Everyone matters to God. Everyone. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what color you are, how tall you are, how short, how thin, how wide. If you got dark hair or gray hair, no hair. It does not matter who you are, because everyone matters to God. Everyone. So the only announcement of Christ's birth goes out to a bunch of uneducated outcasts. And there's a Christmas song, kind of talks about a lot of things having to do with Christmas. And one of the lines in there is, "What a strange way to save the world." He takes that life-changing, world-changing message and he entrusts it to shepherds. Shepherds. Now, as we briefly look at the shepherd's response, we're going to see some lessons that we can apply to our own lives so that we don't forget the Son this season. So, what was the shepherd's response? If you're one of these note takers, it is time to pull out a writing utensil. Get ready to fill in some blanks. I kid about, you know, having a test after class. But I'm figuring if you hear it, which I'm assuming you do, if you see it up on the screen, and if you write it down, there's a better possibility you're going to remember it. So I encourage you, take notes. Check each other's notes. If they got a blank at the end of class today, they got a blank that's not got filled out, you call them on it. You give shame on you. Shame on you not filling in your blank. All right. And I'm not going to check at the door. I'm not going to look at them and say, "Oh yeah, okay, you can leave, you can leave, you can leave." I'm not going to do that, okay? But here they are. Number one, the shepherds were attentive. Attentive. The first thing we see about these shepherds is that they were attentive to their jobs. Look again at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night." They were so committed to their career that they never left their work. Are you that committed to your job? I don't know. Those of y'all are retired are saying, "Yeah, I am now. I'm not leaving retirement." No. But how about those of you who are still, you know, working for the man? How about those of you who have, if you think about looking back and when you're working, were you that committed to your job? More than likely, no. But they were 24/7, they were out in the fields tending to their flocks. We also see from this verse that they were faithful since they were keeping watch. It was often the case that different flocks would come together at night and they'd all come into the same fold. And one of the shepherds would literally lie across the entrance to make sure none of the sheep would get out. Also that no predators would get in. It gives new meaning to John chapter 10 verse 9. It's when Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Notice that God came to those who were attentive at the jobs they were given to do. They weren't slackers, and he met them right where they were. In the same way, whatever God has called you to do, be attentive to it and do it with excellence. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Now, you may be thinking that God doesn't even know you exist. And if he does, he's somehow mad at you. And listen, I want you to realize today that you are not insignificant to our Heavenly Father. And God will meet you right where you are. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. And listen, you don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to act like somebody you're not. If you smell like a shepherd, let God wash you up. If your sins are wiping you out, allow Jesus to lift you up. Heaven chooses to bring a message to the messed up, to the low achievers, as well as those who are high achievers. You were created in the image of God as an original masterpiece, and the signature of the Creator is inscribed on your soul. They were attentive. Secondly, the shepherds awed. Kind of what I was expecting when I mentioned, you know, what's his name and Lindy. They awed. While they were being attentive to the responsibilities they were given, they are suddenly awed. Now, this is a different awed. This is not one of these cute little, oh, that's a cute baby. Oh, look at that kitten. Oh, look at that. It's going to grow up to be a cat. Finding my parts, place so I don't have to start all over again. They were awed by an angelic announcement. And folks, this is a big deal. Angels don't show up to just anybody. Now, there's people today who say, well, an angel appeared to me. I don't put a lot of stock in that. I'll just be honest with you. I don't. Because usually when they say an angel appeared to me, they say the angel said something that doesn't go along with Scripture. And listen, if it doesn't go along with Scripture, guess what? It ain't right. It ain't right. But they had angels show up to them with an announcement. Look at Luke chapter 2 verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Listen, I would be too. You would be too. Greatly afraid. You see, God meets us where we are, but then he brings us to our knees. He loves you just like you are. He also loves you enough to make sure you don't stay like you are. God's glory lights up the sky and causes them to quake in their sandals. Whenever we come face to face with God's holiness, we fall apart because of our sinfulness. Peter had this response in Luke chapter 5 verse 8. It says, and he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And listen, that's what we're going to do one day. God, I don't deserve to be here. I am a sinful man. They could have also been terrified because they didn't know if this was an angel of judgment or not. Could be the angels, you know, said, you know, God says, I'm tired of these boys acting that way. You go out there and wipe them out. And the angel goes and does what God says, because the angels do what God says. Could have gone down there and dealt with them, wiped them out. So they don't know the reason why this angel showed up. And they are terrified. And if you think about it, these guys are tough guys. These guys weren't little sissy boys. These were tough guys. And if it caused them to be terrified, it must have really been terrifying. They were in awe of what they saw. Let me ask you, when was the last time you were in awe? How long has it been since you've been in awe at God and His greatness and His glory? That you've been in awe at God and His mercy and His grace. Let's move on. Number three, the shepherds accepted. Not with an E, accepted, but accepted. Two different words. That's why I put it on the screen so you know how to spell it. Don. Okay. These attentive shepherds are filled with awe, and now they accept the message of good news of great joy. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 10 through 15. Excuse me, Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 15. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." You know, you know what I like about it? Let me stop a minute. You know what I like about this? We're the all people. Wasn't just for the shepherds. It's for us too. Let's move on. Verse 11. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, I like how the scripture puts this. They said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." I think the message is right. Go to Bethlehem, see this thing has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. But I can't see it so calmly. I'll bet they're elbowing each other. Come on, man, let's get out of here. Let's go see what this angel's talking about. Let's go, let's go, let's go. So the first thing the angel does is calms them down. Tells them he's bringing good tidings, good news of acceptance, forgiveness, and hope. We would have a lot to fear if Christmas never happened. This is good news of great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. The Greek word here for great is mega, which means exceedingly large, loud, and mighty. It's great joy. It's mega joy. And listen, because it's such great joy, I think joyless faith in Jesus is a contradiction of terms. Someone who has the Lord in their life, who God has changed from a sinner to a believer, that person's got to have joy. Because I think joyless faith is a contradiction. The message there is for all people. But I want you to notice in verse 11, it says the word "you" as well. It's for the whole world, but it must also become deeply personal. After getting some more specifics, the whole regiment of rejoicing angels fills the sky. I'll bet they were scared then. Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." If you use the New International Version, that verse says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Now, we know they accepted this message. How do we know they accepted the message? Because they went. They said, let's go to Bethlehem and see what's going on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. The angels gave the shepherds God's word, and they acted on what they heard. Have you accepted the message and allowed the word of God to work in you? You see, one of the neat things about our Heavenly Father is he is a perfect gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anybody. Nobody. He offers himself to everybody. He's a perfect gentleman. And God's good news is a gift that's got to be received if you want it to work in your life. It could be you're thinking, well, that gift doesn't seem to be doing much in my life. Have you accepted it? Have you allowed it to work in your life? Have you taken the word of God in and allowed it to go to work? That's what's got to happen. Number four, the shepherds acted. They acted. Now, I'm not talking about up on a stage doing a play that really you have, you know, no, it's not really you. You're pretending to be somebody else. I'm talking about you see, the shepherds didn't just accept and enjoy the message they received. Oh man, how cool. The creator of the universe loves me. How neat is that? But they acted on what they heard. Look at Luke chapter 2 verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, with haste means, come on boys, hurry up. Let's go right now. When I was younger, and I don't have a whole lot of childhood memories. I wish I did. I wish I'd have paid more attention, I guess. But when it was time to eat, my dad was not a patient man. If we were going out somewhere, you know, we're all kind of sitting around and we're thinking, okay, we'll get ready to go. He's heading for the door and he's saying, come on now. When it's time to eat, it's time to eat. And he was not a patient man. Some of y'all are that way. You're not patient people. Come on, right now, let's go. Hurry up. This is pretty amazing in itself because shepherds normally did nothing quickly. They walked slowly, keeping their little sheep together and going from one place to the other. They didn't get in a hurry for nothing. But they're now saying, hurry up. They were normally patient men. They were accustomed to moving slowly through the pastures. And the Bible is clear that acceptance must lead to action. If we accept the message, God's going to call us to move, not sit in the same place. James chapter 2 verse 17 says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Dead. Now, this does not say that your works will save you. It's saying that if you have faith, it will produce good works in you. And if it's not producing good works in you, guess what? That faith is a dead faith. And my suggestion to you is you need to hook up to a living faith, to the living God. They could have doubted. They could have delayed. They could have said, let's form a committee and talk about it. They could have said, well, let's have a calendar meeting and put it on the calendar for later on. They could have done a lot of things. But what they did was they got up and went. You see, that's what letter A talks about. They went and they saw. They went and saw. They took off for Bethlehem. They wanted to see the baby with their own eyes. A baby born in a smelly stable wouldn't have been a problem to men who were used to the odor of sheep. If a king would have heard about it. He may have said, oh, that place stinks. I'm not going there. That is beneath me. I'm not going there. But when shepherds heard that he's born in this stable, laying in a manger, that's no problem for them. They're used to that. So they got up and went. Now, there's some irony here. The irony is this. Unclean shepherds came to a smelly stable to see the Holy of Holies lying on a bed of hay. Now, if you're like me, you're probably thinking, there's something wrong with that picture. How is the Holy of Holies, how come the Holy of Holies had to come like this? Man, he should have been born in a palace, surrounded by kings and servants and all of this. They should have blown the trumpets, put it on, you know, the news. But he comes to a smelly stable, lying on a bed of hay. Now, there's some commentators, and I don't go for everything they say, but there are some commentators who point out the possibility that they were taking care of sheep that were going to be sacrificed in Jerusalem's temple. Because sheep were sacrificed, according to Old Testament law. I'm so glad we're New Testament believers. We don't have to bring them in the church house and put them to death. And I'm not necessarily one real excited about, you know. Well, if it's a chicken, I am all for the execution. Put him in a pot, throw some dumplings in there. Man, we got something going on then. But it could be they were raising these sheep that were one day going to be sacrificed in the temple. And if that was the case, it's no accident that they'd leave their sheep behind to visit the Lamb of God. 1,000 years earlier, David kept watch over his father's sheep in the same pasture. And now they see the Son of David born in the city of David. It's kind of interesting. Makes you think a little bit. So they went and they saw, and they pitched their tents and they camped out there. And then they opened a little gift shop right next door with mementos of little mangers and little sheeps. And is that what they did? No, it's not what they did. After they went and saw, they left and shared. They left and shared. They didn't pull up a bale of hay and make themselves at home. They didn't hang around the manger because they knew that they were now the managers of the message. They had been given a message and it was time for them to do something about it. Notice that the message they shared had nothing to do with seeing these amazing angels. There's no reference to Mary's magnificent or Joseph's job. They came to see him. And now they head out to announce, to tell the good news. Look at verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Concerning who, by the way? The child. Wasn't concerning Mary, wasn't concerning Joseph, not the sheep, not the location, not the star. This child. The word known in here means to make known in such a way that people can understand. Listen, we're here today because they couldn't keep quiet. They went out and did their job. And someone else told somebody else who told someone, told someone, and finally gets down to we're here today. We have the same message that Christ came to the world. Because they couldn't keep quiet. I think that's a good example for us to follow. We don't need to keep quiet either. Question here is, in what area is God calling you to some action? God called the shepherds to go and tell. And they did. And God calls all of us to serve him in some kind of way. It's not enough to say you have faith. It's not enough to feel good about something. There comes a time that after seeing, we've got to be involved in the sharing. Let's move to number five. Lastly, the shepherds adored. Did you notice, by the way, that all of these words begin with the letter A? Did y'all see that? You know what that's called? Alliteration. Thank you. Which also starts with an A, alliteration. Okay. That boy's got some smarticles, I'm telling you. Barbara said, I guess. Okay. All right. What's really neat here is that the shepherds went back to their same boring job, watching sheep, but they weren't the same on the inside. Something had changed. They returned to where they started, and they were attentive again. Now I want you to notice they didn't write a book. They didn't go on a speaking tour. They didn't launch a ministry called A Shepherd Story. You come, bring your financial offering to help fund the shepherd story. They went right back to the same old job. After Christmas, all of these beautiful lights, greeneries and redderies, they're going to be gone. By the way, isn't it beautiful? The tree and all the other things. There were some folks that worked hard doing. I can tell you who didn't work hard doing it. I am no good up on a ladder. You can forget that. If I wasn't holding on right now, it's a good possibility. I just go ahead and, you know the old thing, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Remember that old toy? I wobble, but I do fall down. Anyways, after Christmas, after all this stuff is boxed back up, put back in the closet, we'll go back to the same routine. But we can go back to the same routine with rejoicing. Rejoicing. We are to rejoice right where we are. Yes, it's possible to have joy in our jobs. Even if they're sorry jobs, you can still have joy. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 20. You got it? Luke 2:20. It says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They don't just wonder about what they saw. They didn't get around the campfire, you know, where they pull out the harmonicas and they sing campfire songs and stuff and think, you know, what was that? Boys, what was that we just saw? Well, I don't know, Clem. What did you see? You know, they didn't discuss it. They didn't sit around and talk about it. They worshiped who they saw. They worshiped him. Listen, a clear evidence of conversion is always adoration. I've heard it said that many of us worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. And if we think about it long enough, we're going to realize, you know, there's some truth there. There really is. When a person is genuinely saved, genuinely converted, has a real live, honest to goodness relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ, that person is going to praise God. And if they sit around and say, I refuse to praise God, I'm not one to question whether somebody's saved or not. That's God's business. But it does make me wonder if they really have a relationship with God or if they've just got a relationship with a church. And that's two completely different things. When a person is genuinely saved, they will praise God. Allow yourself this Christmas season to adore Emmanuel, God with us, Christ the Son. And glorify and praise him for all you have seen and heard. You can return to the same place tomorrow, but not as the same person. You can return changed. Now, do you want to take on the role of shepherds? I'm not talking about start tending sheep and, you know, laying in the gate so they can't get in or out or anything like that. Are you willing to be managers of the message? carriers of the gospel, the go and tellers? Or will you just plant yourself like a tree and be as unmovable as a rock? The shepherds were changed forever by what they saw. And since they were changed forever by what they saw, we are changed today, because they couldn't keep that message to themselves. You can be changed also if you follow their example. Be attentive to what God has called you to do. Be awed by God's message to you. Accept the gift of good news and act on what you know to be true, and adore this God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. Now, I know what you're thinking, preacher, I'm going to be sleeping some of that time. I get that, but you know what I mean. Don't ever clock out from taking responsibility of the message. There was a, how many of y'all heard Corrie Ten Boom? Yeah, okay. She wrote a lot of things. But this is one thing that she said. She said, if Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost. That's kind of powerful, isn't it, if you think about it? I think it's time today to make sure that Jesus is born in us. Yeah, it'd be a mighty big shame to come into the Christmas season, go through it, go out the other side, and never have met the reason why we do all this. That'd be a shame, wouldn't it? I think it would be. We need to make sure that we have that relationship with the Holy God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the end of the message. Now it's time to make a decision. What are you going to do with what you've heard? What are you going to do? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we have that same message of good news, of great joy. I thank you that you made us part of the all people. And Lord, that this Savior has been born for us too. Father, I thank you that the shepherds didn't keep quiet about it. And Lord, I pray that we will not keep quiet about it either. Lord, in this time of decision, Lord, I pray that we will deal with the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And we'll be obedient today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.